A few years ago, Coca-Cola partnered with different companies in different parts of the world. I don't recall seeing anything actually here in our own country, but they partnered with different companies. They were running this kind of big campaign, and in running this big campaign, the goal of the campaign was to do various different experiments to try and change atmospheres. And so they'd done all kinds of things, from putting vending machines into kind of college halls that gave away far bigger prizes than normal, bunches of flowers and things like that. And the whole experiment was because they changed the usual kind of atmosphere. In 2015, they partnered with a company in Belgium. And in partnering with this company in Belgium, the goal, if you like, the mission was to see if they could change the atmosphere on the Antwerp Metro. Okay, man, I wonder if you can just kill the house lights for me, mate, if that's all right, while we watch this video in a second. Cheers, buddy. Thank you. I ask you, Martin, because if I send anyone else like me, you probably wouldn't know which ones to switch off, and everything would go, and someone would scream from the toilet in a darkness or something. So I'll just get Martin to do that. Anyway, they partnered with a company in Belgium to see if they could change the atmosphere on the Antwerp Metro. The reason being that people on the subway there are underground kind of thing. They kind of just noticed that there was kind of a heaviness that seemed to be present. I think you sometimes see it on the London Underground. You know, people look kind of glum, quite kind of sometimes quite solemn. And so they kind of wanted to see, can we do something to change the atmosphere? Of course, on any packed train, there is going to be genuine need. There's going to be genuine troubles. There's going to be genuine cares, genuine concerns, genuine issues and situations that are going on. But they thought, can we do something to change the atmosphere? And so what they did, they sent one guy into that situation, into that environment, to do something, to bring something to the train to see what impact and effect it might have. And they filmed that in kind of secret with their high quality kind of film. And this is that video. Cool, hey. So I want to talk a little bit this morning, and if you can see me, I want to talk a little bit this morning about the power that joy has to change things. Okay, the power of joy. As we come into this kind of Advent season, as we're on the run up to Christmas, I want to talk about joy. Do you know that when we talk about joy having the power to change things, I think that in truth, we're just a kind of a little bit slow to catch on to what God already knew. You know, what God already knows. And that's that joy has a power to bring a change to atmosphere. And 2,000 years ago, what kind of happened on that train, for me, as I thought about it, I thought, it's such a perfect picture of what God did in sending his son Jesus into a world that's full of mess and chaos and troubles and cares and concern. Jesus is sent into that world. Jesus is born in a manger. And in sending him, Luke 2 verse 10, when the angels broke that news, they said this. Just read this with me if you would please this morning. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. the Father sends the Son into the world with good news and joy. How many people know that the world is crying out for more good news and joy? You know, we're a kind of a world now that's pretty starved of good news and a world that's pretty starved of joy. Wouldn't it be refreshing one day to turn on the news and just see good news, you know, and see something that brings joy? But we're kind of perhaps more accustomed to the other side of that. So Jesus comes into the world to bring this joy, but not just any joy, it says there. It says great joy. And that Greek word there is the word megas, and it's the word we get mega from that. And it literally means that there is mega joy in Jesus. Okay, mega joy, and it literally means this, big joy. Okay, there is big joy. It literally means it is the greatest kind of joy you can know, the highest joy, the largest joy, the loudest joy, the mightiest joy there is. It is mega joy. And so Jesus comes into this world of care, concern, heaviness, mess, disorder, and brings mega joy. The best kind of joy that there is, the best kind of joy that you could ever wish to experience. Back in October, just before we went away to, before I went away to India, we took a family holiday, and we went for a few days to Centre Parks, and we went there. And when you go to Centre Parks, they have changeover days if you've not been before. But you know, on a Monday, those from the weekend are leaving. They've been there Friday to Monday. They're leaving on a Monday. And so they're going out the park and you're arriving to the park if you're coming Monday to Friday. And there's this kind of half day thing where you, maybe a day if you want to hang around, you're super keen, where you kind of mix the two, those who are leaving, those who are going, and those who are coming. And when you park in the car park, there's a walk through the woods down the path. And what you see is, you see those who are leaving and you see those who are coming, and the atmosphere is entirely different. So as we arrive, we're getting out of the car and we're like, oh, I'm going to go on this so many times and I'm going to beat you on that race and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to play badminton and we're going to swim and we've got all this time and we're going to go there and have some food and all that. And so we're all upbeat on the Monday and we're kind of walking down carrying our bags like it's holiday time, you know, kind of thing. And then you see everyone else who's coming the other way like, oh. And they're kind of got the blues because they're kind of going. And so you get this kind of crossover of those who have got the joy of beginning and those who have got the sadness of kind of ending. And even when you're in the park, you can actually spot they've arrived and they're going. You know, there's just a different kind of atmosphere that kind of exists. And so Monday we arrive, there's so much in front of us. We're looking forward to enjoying the week. And, you know, then the days start passing by. And I am really bad for counting down. Right, so I kind of sometimes suck the joy out of the atmosphere because, you know what I mean? I'm one of those guys that when you arrive on Monday, I go, oh, we've only got 4 nights till we go home. And anyone who's been on holiday with me will tell you that's true, okay? And so I've only got 4 days. And so they're like, oh, for goodness sake, no, we've got 4 days in front of us, not just 4 days left. You know, it's the bottle's half full, half empty kind of thing. And but as the day, as it's interesting, because as the week does genuinely wear on, things do get a little more downbeat, a little more kind of solemn and everything. And I think that that is a great image. Centre Parks on a Monday is a great image with our normal relationship with joy. What it's kind of like. Our levels are going up and down because they're influenced by the circumstances and environments that we're in and how life is kind of going, and whether we feel sad because things have not gone well or we feel happy because we've got things to look forward to in front of us. But then into that scene comes the birth of Christ and this good news announcement that there is a mega joy, a bigger joy than that kind of joy, a joy that is much bigger than that natural level of joy. And the Bible says of that joy, and the scriptures for all of these, but for time, I won't give them all to you now. It says, the Bible says that that joy is a joy, a mega joy that can come in our times of sadness. Joy that can come in our troubles, in our pain, in our losses, in our difficulties, in our pressures, in our sufferings, in our stress, and in our weak times. Anyone ever have any of them times in their life? There is a mega joy that God can bring that doesn't succumb to the atmosphere, but has the ability to change the atmosphere. Like we saw on that train there, that in coming into that situation, God can do something that changes the very atmosphere. See, that was David's experience, and I've been so blessed by just reading this scripture again. Psalm 30 and verse 12 says this in the easy reading version. You have changed my sorrow into dancing. You have taken away my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Now, I want to just give you a little kind of visual on kind of this picture. And, I kept doing this to Martin in India and just using him as a guinea pig, and he was unsuspecting then, so I'm going to use him again now. But, Martin, I hope you don't mind. Well, if you do, that's tough, isn't it, now? So, here we go. But I just want you to kind of put this on, all right, and try not to look too much like a Jedi, all right? So, I'm just going to kind of clothe you in this, okay? You like it? You want to take it home? There we go. Just wrap that round. There we go. You just hold that. Okay, I just want you to kind of, you know, look at this beautiful picture right here that's in front of you today. And I want to just explain the meaning of what's being said here, okay? Because when you dig into it, this is what you begin to understand. It literally means this. David says, I felt like I was wearing this cloak, this coat of heaviness and sadness. And I was in here, and I'm existing, I'm in here, but it's like I'm underneath this kind of heaviness, that's kind of this sadness that's on my life. And everywhere I go, I feel like I'm carrying this. I'm down, I feel low. But he says that in the midst of feeling like I'm clothed in this heaviness and sadness, he says, Jesus, he says, Father God, he says, you come to me. And this is what it means. It says here, you have taken away. Now that word taken away is a beautiful word. It means that God comes to you and he begins to loosen. He begins to loosen this heaviness. But then it means there's a point, okay, where it means this. It means you carved it open. Okay, so now it's been blown wide open in our lives, okay? You've carved it open, you've opened it wide, and then even further than that, it means this. It means I appeared, so you begin to exit, Martin, and take a step forward. I appeared from the heaviness that was upon my life. I exited that place where I felt sad and low. You brought me out. It means I broke forth. I was drawn out of it by who? By God. And it says, you took it away, you put it off, and I was set free. And then it doesn't stop there. He says, in setting me free from a cloak of heaviness, okay, you took away my sackcloth. It says, and then you clothed me with joy. Okay, so just pretend this is joy. And when it says you clothed me with joy, it means this. It means you girded me up. It means you bound me up. It means you surrounded my life and encompassed me with joy. Do you know that the mega joy that God has can take you from a place of being cloaked in sadness, depression, and despair? He can carve it wide open. You can step forth out of it and be free. And God can clothe you and surround you with joy. Wow, you almost sounded excited. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right. Thank you, my friend. You see, I want to suggest to us that God's remedy to our situations in our life is this joy. That's why I love Nehemiah verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When I'm weak, what is going to bring me out of that place of weakness that cloaks me and covers me and surrounds me, it is joy. It is joy. When I'm tired, when I'm weary, when I'm exhausted, worn out on life, you can leave today, maybe come in that place, but leave today in a place of strength if you receive the joy of the Lord. So we walk in one way and we walk out totally different. Whatever's weighing us down, God has the power to break it off. Now, does that mean that God always changes our circumstances? No, I don't think it does mean that all my circumstances are always changed, because that's circumstantial joy. It means I can only experience joy in the most pleasantest of circumstances. I can't think there are that many times in your life that you enjoy for all that long when everything seems perfect. And so that's not the relationship we want to have with joy. What I'm saying is that I believe God's joy can change you in the midst of the circumstance, can change the atmosphere that you're living in the midst of those challenging circumstances. It can change the way you feel, see, look, think, your emotions, your outlook, your hope. You can go from being surrounded by negativity to being surrounded by hope and positivity. So we don't have to deny our circumstances, but neither do our circumstances have to dictate our level of joy. So I want to have a little look at the story here today of the shepherds. because they receive great joy in the field. Yet to the best of my knowledge, as far as I know, they go back to the same circumstances. They go back to the same jobs, to the same routines, to the same life. But the difference, they go back with this tremendous joy in their heart. And there's something in every one of us that can do with a kind of joy that changes atmospheres. And we search for it, and people go on a quest for joy, to find the things that bring them joy and to do the things that bring them joy. So if you're looking for that joy today in need of some genuine joy, let's just go to Luke chapter 2, verse 4 through to 12. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, will you say that with me this morning? Suddenly. You're going to have to remember that word. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." The first thing I want to say to you this morning is this. Well, I've said several things, but the first major point. This kind of joy is not found, it is sent. You can't find it. The quest for joy that people go on looking all over the place to find the things and do the things that give you this kind of joy, the joy that changes atmospheres, the joy that can really change your life, the joy that's more than a fleeting relationship with pleasant circumstance, is something that God sends into your life. Jesus was sent into this world. People can spend the rest of their life trying to find the joy I'm preaching about this morning and miss it, because God has already sent it. Joy comes in the person of Jesus Christ. And often what we're doing is we're looking for something to create this feeling of joy inside. And I mean, we have things that make us feel happy and whatnot, but sometimes we get trapped in this. If I just had that, then I'd feel joy. If I could just get through that, then I'd feel joy. If that circumstance would just change, then I'd feel joy. If that just went a little bit better, then I'd have joy. I want us to stop the search. I want us to be released from that search. This joy cannot be found. This joy is sent from above. It's not created from what we have around us or by what we feel within us. It's not found in things, it's found in a person, Jesus. I just want Amanda to come and read a testimony. Sadly, Sophie Claxton's not well today. She was going to share her testimony. I asked her to share it, but she's been really quite poorly with a nasty bug for the last couple of days. But she just sent me her testimony that I asked her to share, and Amanda's going to read it on her behalf. So, if you just close your eyes and pretend you're listening to Sophie.
I won't do it. I won't try an impression of Sophie. Okay. I'm a stay-at-home mum and have two little girls who are a year apart, ages 3, 4, and 3. When my eldest, Layla, was 3 and Ivy was 2, I started to really struggle with everything. The day-to-day life of a stay-at-home mum started to become too much for me. I didn't want to see people because I thought I should have it all together, but I didn't. I wanted to stay home all day. I didn't want to get washed or dressed or do any housework because I didn't care what my house was like and I had no energy. I literally just moved from bedroom to living room in my pyjamas unless it was absolutely necessary for me to go out. Life became very dark. Everything around me became heavy and negative and I lost all drive for life. The smallest of things would set me off in tears, which would then lead me to questioning my life and purpose and whether I could do this. I'm sad to say that at one point I was so low I even thought about ending my life because the struggle in my mind was just too much for me to deal with and I thought my family would be better off without me. I didn't want to pray or spend any time with God, and I didn't like being at church because I couldn't understand why I was feeling this way, and I didn't want to pretend that I was okay. At one of my lowest points, however, I remember God giving me a picture. This picture was of Jesus' hand outstretched to me and clinging onto mine. He said that he would never let go. I cried out and prayed that he would get me through this, but not only just get me through, he would break this from my life completely, as I didn't want to have to struggle with this on and off for the rest of my life and be worried that I might fall into depression again. I kept thinking of that picture every time I felt low, and I held on to it for months, believing that Jesus would one day get me through as he'd promised. No one knew anything about this except Johnny, as I was too afraid to share it. I didn't want to put the label of depression on myself, even though I knew that's what it was. Eventually, I spoke to Wendy, who prayed with me and shared some things with me to encourage me and help, and she says thank you. Also, my mum called me round one day and said, "Sophie, something isn't right. Don't you just love mums? They always know when something's up." Anyway, her and Dad also listened to me pour out my heart and gave me some advice and prayer. Then one day in January this year, I realised that I hadn't felt low for a while. My heart started to feel free, and I said to Johnny, "I haven't felt down and I feel different." Then we had a ladies' night and were just sharing our hearts with each other. I hadn't planned to share anything, but as I sat listening to other people, God said to me, "I told you I'd bring you through. You feel different because I've set you free." I remember I jumped up and said, "I've something to share." And I was able to stand and say, "I'm here today and Jesus has set me free from depression." Since that day, I've not had one cloud or low point or any feeling of depression coming back on my life. And I'm just so thankful to the Lord for holding me every step of the way. I'm still here today and able to say, "Jesus brought me through and set me free from depression." If you're here this morning and you're battling with depression or anything at all, yes, Jesus can and will get you through if you cling to him. But he can also break it completely and set you free. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you. Praise God. I kind of was thinking about as a dad, and someone said something to me just recently, actually. What are my favourite times for my children, with my children? What are some of my most precious memories? And I want to show you just quickly one of my favourite videos. There is another, this is of Jake and Amy's features in it. There is another one that features Beth and Amy, but I couldn't show it because one of them was sitting on the toilet. And I just thought it's not a cool thing to do to embarrass a nearly 15-year-old girl with that. So, you know, it's not, I just want you to know that I have more than one favourite video. But I just want to show you this favourite video, and then I want to explain to you as a dad why this video gives me so much joy. I'll explain why as a dad that gives me so much pleasure. Because as a father, I love to hear my kids laugh. As a father, I love to hear my kids enjoying themselves. I love those moments, their precious memories. You know, you'd have had them as well, I'm sure, when, you know, you laugh so hard, you can't stop laughing. You know, it's more than you find it amusing, but your side hurts, or, you know, kids can't breathe in that moment, you know, when they're laughing so hard. There's something in us as a dad and as parents that just goes, you know what? I love to hear my kids enjoying life and laughing and filled with joy. And what are some of my saddest memories? When I see my kids hurting, when I see my kids grieving, when I see my kids upset about things and going through difficult situations as they do increasingly, of course, as they get older. But it brings me so much joy. And then I'm thinking to myself, do you know, where does that come from? Well, I'm made in His image. And He's the best Father that there is. And so I just want to say to us today that I believe that the Father loves to hear us enjoying life. I believe the Father loves to hear us laugh. I believe the Father loves to hear us experience in joy. And I believe that actually the Father's heart is when we're going through mess and stuff like that, that He wants to bring that joy. He wants to change that situation. I don't know how you handle it, but that's kind of my technique in my house. I'm not always that successful. But when my kids are sad or they're upset, I usually try and make them laugh. Do you know what I mean? That is getting a little harder the older they get. In fact, I made the eldest one cry the other day in an attempt to make her laugh. But there's something in my heart that just kind of wants to say, I don't want to see you like that. I want you to be happy. And I feel that today, I just want to say to you, the Father's heart, I believe, is that wherever we're at this morning, His heart is He don't want to see you like that. He wants to bring joy. He wants to break that. He wants you to step out of that and move forward from that. He wants every one of us, of course, to know the joy of being rescued from our sin, the joy of having eternal life, joy when we're down, joy when we're low, hurting, stressed, or grumpy, when we're feeling weak or weary. You know, we know that He's intended a future for us, an eternal kind of, like, you know, eternity, sorry, where we will share with Him, where the Bible says there is no sorrow, there is no sadness, there is no tears. It's a scene of joy. He doesn't want us to kind of know that He wants us to enjoy joy. You know, there'll be no joy like being with Jesus. You know that. You know, that's a phenomenal joy there is. He wants us to have it. We know that the night before Jesus was to die on the cross and He's spending time talking with His disciples, He says, this is what I want for you, that you be filled with my joy. I think that scripture's there. That you would be filled with my joy. Yes, that your joy will overflow. Is it there, Jess, the next scripture? Please. In the NCV, it says this, that your joy will be the fullest possible joy. And I want us to get this idea, this image into our mind of the relationship that God wants us to have, how He wants to fill us with joy. And so just, you know, it's kind of, if this is you, He's just sort of saying, look, I don't just want you to have a little bit. So that when you're in circumstances, you're like kind of trying to dig really deep. I hope there's some kind of joy in here that's going to kind of get me through this. And you're looking, you know, and it's so deep down inside, you're struggling to find it. He don't want to just give you a little bit of joy in your life in the midst of whatever it is you might be going through. He don't even want to give you that much. He don't even want to kind of half fill you with His joy and you begin to feel, oh, I feel a little bit better. He says, I don't even want to kind of just take you to the point where you almost feel. He says, there's a mega joy. There's a big joy that I want to bring into your life. And He says, this is what your experience, I want your experience of joy to be like. I just want to pour my joy all over you. And He says, I want you to begin to overflow with joy in your life. Now listen, when stuff begins to overflow, it begins to touch other things. It begins to spill out. And so as we come under this as we begin to receive this joy that He has for us in the midst of what's going on in our life, it begins to spill over in our life. It begins to touch our emotions, our feelings, our outlook, our faith, our fear. It begins to touch that. And do you know what else it does? It begins to touch others who are around us. It spills out from our life. Have you ever been in the presence of someone who's so filled with joy, you felt a bit kind of flat, but you get around them and all of a sudden you're feeling pretty happy and upbeat as well? That was my experience, as I said to you, when I was in India and you're with people in there, you know, people have been saved from Hindi backgrounds who have got nothing. I mean, friends, you know, when you drive down a road and you see people sleeping on a central reservation under a blanket with their families and they've got nothing. And I mean, the smog and pollution, after 2 weeks, we're all going like that. And they're sleeping in the middle of busy roads like that. They've got nothing. And people living like packed in their houses. But I tell you what, when you get into their presence, there is such a joy. And do you know what happens when you walk in? You walk in at 8:15 in the morning, like that video I showed you the other morning, thinking like, oh, it's 8:15. Do you know what I mean? And we're about to start. And they're all jumping and the place is rocking. I tell you what, on the last day, I say, man alive, I can't stay here. I've got to go jump with them. You know, like kind of thing. So I want to be down the front because there's a joy that spills over. This thing's doing my nut. There's a joy that spills over and begins to touch people. By the way, for the benefit of the recording, that's the microphone. Okay. just in case anyone thinks I'm talking about a person or something, if you're listening to that. Okay. The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as joy begins to pour in, do you know what? It affects the way I'm speaking all of a sudden. There's a new positivity and a hope and an energy that's coming through. And that's, I'm beginning to speak that way. And the shepherds, when joy comes to them, do you know what they do? They want to go and share the news. After seeing him, verse 16 to 18, the shepherds told everyone what had happened. They told everyone, joy's come. And what the angel had said to them about this child, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Friends, one thing, as I said earlier on, this world is desperately short of is good news and joy. And so as we come under the flow of God's joy in our life and it spills out and there's an overflow, let it begin to touch your friends. It will begin to touch your family. It will begin to touch your workplace. It will begin to touch the places, your college, your school, whatever it is. That as there's enough, not just to get you full, we want to live in the overflow. Amen? It's not just about Jesus, fill me up and I'll be all right. We want an overflow, which says, God, I want everything you've got for me and enough to overflow to touch others around me in my life. So I want to say to you, this Christmas season, we're believing that we're going to see God do more of the miraculous this season. We've got healing services and things that are planned in this season here. I want to say to you, keep inviting people. Keep bringing them in, because I believe we're going to see some overflow. Secondly, I want to say to you today is not just joy is found, not found, but sent. I want to say to you, joy is here. Joy is here. You know, it was just another business as usual night for the shepherds. You know, it's another routine night in their life. And I think it's important we understand that. There wasn't any pre-warning. One of them didn't sit and turn to the other and say, do you know what? I think some angels might turn up tonight. You know, they're just as a business as usual night, sitting in a field. I mean, I don't know, if you're particularly passionate and fond of sheep, then forgive me. But I mean, they're not really all that interesting, are they? When they're awake, okay? But when they're sleeping, right? And, you know, and you're talking about guys who've got to sit there and watch sleeping sheep, right? You know what I mean? And stay awake and just watch them sleep, because they're protecting them, of course. They don't want any harm to come to them. And so this is literally just a humdrum, bang average, normal night in their everyday life. There's not a warning, there's nothing going on that says, I think something special is going to happen. And then joy breaks in. Joy breaks in to that kind of life. Routine, normal, everyday, ordinary life. And what's the word I got you to say back to me earlier on? Suddenly, it says in verse 9. You need, maybe you're well acquainted with the bad suddenlies of life. Perhaps that's what we think about when we think about suddenly. And suddenly, the bottom fell out from my world. You know, I remember, as I've told you many times, you know my testimony, when that phone call came to me on Christmas Day about my dad and stepmom, it was a suddenly like boom, and everything, just the bottom just drops out of your world. Or suddenly we got this bad news. Suddenly this situation happened. Suddenly it's like it just boom. And we know what it is to have a bad suddenly, where suddenly things change for the worst. Friends, I want to say to you, I believe there are joy suddenlies. There are joy suddenlies. There are suddenly moments when you might be living in a place and then suddenly joy can break into your life. Suddenly in the humdrum, routine, ordinary, just trying to get by, do life thing, joy can break in. That was the shepherd's experience. They were terrified at first. We know they were shocked when the angel turned up. But it says suddenly the glory of the Lord shone around them. It means illuminated all around. Can you imagine that? Sitting in a dark, pitch black field. You know what I mean? No one's rigged up a generator or anything like that. You're sitting in a dark field. Nowadays, we'd have some kind of source of power or light that we'd have there. But you're sitting there, maybe a kind of a lamp or something you could light or something perhaps at the most. But imagine sitting in a dark field and suddenly it's like as if someone just flicked the lights on. And it's literally as sudden from that. It's from darkness to light. I serve a God, friends, who takes people from darkness to light. He can do that in people's minds. He can do that in people's circumstances. He can do that in people's situations, that we might find ourselves in a dark place, but suddenly joy breaks in. and we go from darkness to light. We go from despair to hope. We go from fear to faith. Whatever it might be, there are joy suddenlies. Someone flicks the light on. God can show up anywhere, anytime. You know, some of us are quite good at hiding things. And I'm just about done. Some of us are quite good at hiding things. So a few years ago, I totally hit rock bottom in my life. And I hit rock bottom. That's as near to the edge as I feel I've ever gone. Anyone who knows me, well, not even all those who knew me that well, because I hid it from them as well. But there were one or two people around my life who I let in on that. I was as near to the edge. I felt ill physically, mentally. I was broken. I honestly, you wouldn't probably believe it because I stand in the pulpit. Behind the scenes, friends, I was a totally broken man. My wife will tell you, those who did come and see me hadn't seen me like that. I was on the edges. I couldn't sleep. I was just in an absolute mess. And, you know, yet standing into the pulpit, doing what I do, and then going away like a broken guy behind the scenes. Just, I felt ill. I felt so unwell. It was ridiculous. Physical pains and manifestations in my body because I was so stressed out. I was so down. I don't know when people say, oh, have you been depressed? I just know it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And there was an early hour moment one day when I just sobbed at about 2:30 in the morning in the dining room at home. And I just said, God, I cannot do this. I just gave everything into God's hands. And I just said, I'm going to bed, God. And I thought things were it. I thought things were done. And I went to bed that night and I just kind of thought, that's it. I don't see the future. I don't see a way through. Do you know what? 6:30 a.m. the next morning, I had a suddenly. You know, I woke in that morning and something happened. It's too private to share. But there was a suddenly moment. And in that suddenly moment, it was like from darkness to light. It was like from brokenness to wholeness. From despair to joy. And in that moment, I just say that's like something lifted. You know that coat image? It was like me, the real me, emerged from what had been covering my life and has surrounded me. Joy suddenlies exist. Band, perhaps you can come back. We sat in India. I sat on my bed praying before ministering, pouring out to God the things that I long to see before we go into a meeting out there. I'm saying, God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to do that. And I had a joy suddenly. I had a joy suddenly. I'm getting, oh God, and I'm getting so kind of, there's people coming, they need healing, they need breakthrough, they need change, God. And I'm, oh God, and you know, like me and Martin had our headphones on opposite sides of the room on our beds, and I'm intensely praying and about this, and God, I want to see that, and these people desperately need you, and there's breakthrough got to come, and God, I don't understand all they're living with, and I'm getting all like that. And then all of a sudden, God just says to me, I'm here. And as I hear God, that's all I hear, I'm here. I just start to laugh. And I'm sitting on my bed and I just start laughing. And I'm like, God, why am I stressing? You're here. You're here. And I just start to laugh. And God just speaks to me the words of that song that I've sung before. And they come right through to me. In your presence there is fullness of life and healing flowing for body, soul and mind. God of miracles, God of the impossible is here. God is here, let the brokenhearted rejoice, lift up your head. God is here, let the sick say, I am well, all sufficient one. God is here, let the weak say, I am strong, let the weak say, I am strong. God is here, his wonders to perform. In your presence there is perfect peace, in the stillness I behold your deity. God of wonders, God of power is here. I think we better sing this in a minute. Oh, his wonders. Yes, his wonders to perform. Oh, his wonders, yes, his wonders to perform. And God's just saying, I'm here, I'm here. And you know, we walked into that meeting and oh, God broke out. God broke out. Waves of God came through that meeting. People are on their knees. People are getting in touch. You know, we've took the last lot of testimonies this week. You know, I told you we've only had two of the three camps, the last lot come through. People testifying to having continuous like problems in their head, pain in their head. They've been to the hospital. They were on medication. They were sent for a CT scan that was booked. They said, and then they sent a testimony through for the first time in ages. At this point when they sent the testimony, they've been 4 days without a single tablet and totally pain-free in their head. You know, praise God. God. You know, and stuff like that is just happening, and other miracles and stuff like that's happening. God's here. God shows up. God does stuff. And the last thing I just want to say to you this morning really is this, just in closing that point, you don't need to search for it. It's not over there. It's not over here. It's not somewhere else. It's right here. It's right now. It's where you are. That's what we see with the shepherds. God can show up and give you that joy because Jesus is here. Lastly, I want to say to you this morning as we close, this joy is for you. Why the shepherds? A bit of a rough, tough, uneducated bunch of guys. Bottom of the social ladder, earning peanuts, didn't have much, not highly educated, not highly thought of, no high standing position in society. And yet God first brings joy to them there in that field. Surely, God, you'll choose someone more important or significant. Surely, God, this joy is not for me, it's just for a few. But friends, I believe the significance of the shepherds is this, that the message of Christmas is this joy is for all of us. Luke 2:11 in the Passion Translation, I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard, and it is for everyone, everywhere. I bring you good news, the angel says, that will bring great joy to all people. So I recently heard someone say this, good news becomes great joy when it becomes personal. You see, I don't know, any one of you might come up to me and say to me, hey, I'm expecting a baby. And I might say, that's good news. But when my wife came to me, said, Daryl, we're expecting our first baby. I said, that's great joy. Because good news becomes great joy when it becomes personal. You see, Christmas is personal. The birth of Jesus is personal. It's not just kind of good news for everyone else. It's good news for you. It's great joy for you. It's not just Jesus came for the world. It's Jesus came for me. And Jesus came for you. Friends, he loves you, has a plan, has a promise, has a future for you. And I believe he wants to bring you God joy that can change your world. Hallelujah. Why don't we